Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for hanging out with me today. We got some really good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. We got our good friend Jim Ostra going to hang out with us for a while. He's with associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, the folks who produced the Kiplinger Letter that they've been doing now for 1923, coming up on 85-year anniversary that they... They're going to celebrate in September, and it's an outstanding publication. And Jim's an outstanding guy. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim and everyone. I'm surprised I can even get my head through the door at this point. You know, it's so big.
It's good to have you here, Jim.
Thank you.
And by the way, as you know, we were just in your fair city. You and I weren't able to catch up this time like we have in the past, but I was just there for celebrating Small Business Week, and sure. It was a magnificent week. We had a great time. We went to the White House Wednesday for a briefing by the president and a reception afterwards. All the celebrants of Small Business Week that were there, and even I was invited, Jim.
They let you in?
Yeah, what? They did.
My God.
They lowered their standards, Jim, and let me in.
Now it is really very, very It is great that there's recognition in the White House, agencies, and elsewhere, because it really is the engine that drives this nation.
Well, no question about it, and we had a wonderful time. Jim, Washington, D.C. is my favorite city in the United States.
And why is that?
Well, it's a lot of people, don't like it. Because I mean, I know people live in Virginia who refuse to go there, but I'll tell you, it's such a beautiful city. You're never more than a couple of blocks, even if you're downtown, you're never more than a couple of blocks away from something green.
That's right.
The buildings are not tall. No building is more than, what, 8 stories high or so?
Or actually, 12. 12 stories at
okay.
most.
But still, they look like they're mid-rises at most, not even high-rises.
Right, right.
Nothing can be very tall there. The city is not like a bunch of skyscrapers. And there's so many wonderful restaurants. Beautiful. The history is so rich there. It's just, and it's the seat of power of the greatest nation on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a very beautiful city. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, we can get that music on. But
yeah.
each season, I mean, spring is just magnificent, though. The cherry blossoms and everything, green.
If you've never, it's still hard for me to believe there are Americans who haven't been to Washington, D.C., and I guess I understand that. But folks, next time you're planning a vacation, and the Chamber of Commerce didn't ask me to say this,
no.
Plan a trip to D.C. Don't try to do everything. Just find the thing that you really want to do and do one or two things. But take time to wander around the city and just enjoy the beauty of the city. The only thing that troubles me about Washington, Jim,
yeah.
are the public buildings that are behind the barricades. That's the only thing that's troubling to me.
Yeah, I know.
That we have to have this kind of double, triple, quadruple redundancy for security, isn't it?
It is. You might say, well, that's the world as it is, and yet we're taking steps. But it is sad over here. In many cases, like, the White House, but others, too. It's almost like
right.
a maze.
Yeah.
This time of year, right now, every day, there are hundreds of buses, downtown. And not and from... From Texas and the Dakotas and Maine and Florida.
So oh, yeah.
A lot of people visit. And it's not the sea government, but a beautiful city.
Yeah, it really is. And we've come a long way, Jim, from back in the latter part of the 19th century. I don't know when they stopped doing this, but back in those days, people would walk across the lawn of the White House and walk into the White House and ask to see the president. And they might.
certainly.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, people would do make an appointment. Make an appointment and just come in. I want to see the president.
I read stories where sometime back they would literally just walk into the building and. You know, I mean, they couldn't just wander in and knock on the president's door, but you know, there was no, you know, they weren't necessarily keeping people out of the building, and it's, we've come a long way from that, folks.
I don't know, we'll
never go back, obviously.
Matter of fact, briefly, there's a story here where Abraham Lincoln would get callers of all sorts and of all times and day and night, and actually, shortly after Gettysburg, he came down with a mild case of smallpox, which moved him. Finally, there's something I can give to everybody.
you know, Jim, if, I don't know if you did this, if you watched this, but we watched the John Adams series.
Wonderful.
And on Showtime, I guess it was. Let me tell you something. HBO, I've forgotten. Let me tell you something. That was a wonderful series. And it really showed what the presidency was like during Adams' time.
As the
second president of the United States. When he left the original White House in D.C., which wasn't even finished.
When he came,
he literally according to the movie, and I'll have to go back and check my notes in David McCullough's book, which I have. He got on like a taxi kind of a wagon with a bunch of other people, slaves and other people.
And
in the movie, he sat down and said, "Don't look at me. I'm just a regular." That's how he left Washington.
That's right. Just left, right?
Yeah. So,
and that was it.
It's amazing. Jim, speaking of houses, they don't call me the king of for nothing.
Whoa.
The housing gloom and doom is a term that you guys use this week for your lead line. Tell us about this.
Sales of new and existing homes, as well as prices for most, continue to fall. Of course, Kiplinger always looks ahead and what is up. And we feel that housing will hit bottom by January, and that is that, you know, by January of next year, it'll show an increase in sales or resales. But the thing is, we're saying that it's going to be a slow climb up. It'll take about 3 years.
Saying 3 years, and I heard somebody the other day. Of course, pockets of in the United States are different. And somebody told me the other day that Florida has a 10-year inventory of houses.
It may well.
That's incredible. 20 after, we're right back with Jim Ostroff. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm with you. It's 23 after the hour. Little Steely Dan bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things we do here. Our show, the replay, the podcasts, all the different things you can do. We have a little time machine there, ladies and gentlemen, allow you to go back in time, all the way back to 99 in some cases. How about that? So I can't that's the best I can do. But who else gives you a time machine, ladies and gentlemen? Who loves you, right? So we got that. We got thousands of those of archives of our past shows. And, of course, today's show will be archived very soon after we go off the air. And then we got hundreds of Brain Trust members. You can check those guys out. We got, like our friend Jim Ostroff, who's with us right now, we got thousands of articles that I and the Brain Trust members have written. You can subscribe to my newsletter, which we send to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday, and that's all at smallbusinessadvocate.com. No barrier to entry. It's all free. If you can get there, we'll let you in. And then, of course, don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz. And boy, howdy, are you guys using that thing? I am so happy about that. We built that for you to answer your questions. We're still building it, folks. We're continuing to add content to this thing. So don't find everything that you want there. Just keep looking. We're gonna keep doing that. And send us suggestions. We'd be glad for you to send us suggestions. And that's askjim.biz. Jim Ostroff, as I said, is our guest, and we're talking about housing. And you know, Jim, when I hear that housing prices have fallen, I don't get all upset about that. I smell opportunity.
Well, exactly. The thing is, of course, I mean, why we're in the fix we're in, that prices pretty much have risen dramatically beyond what homes are worth. At some point, obviously, they're worth more. But so far, so fast, so high, had to fall. And now that they do, of course, you know, there are opportunities to buy homes or land or both at good prices. And of course, the values will come back. It's just going to take time. In some places, like we're saying here in Florida, you know, it could be 5 to 10 years before we see this worked out. And there are some real bad pockets in the country, whether it be New York or Cleveland or Detroit, you know, where prices have fallen the most. But the thing is, it's not gloom and doom everywhere. Is across the U.S. right now, from Houston to Salt Lake to Huntsville, in your neck of the woods, at least in Alabama, and Oklahoma City.
In Raleigh, down that place,
and Raleigh and Oklahoma City, and prices are beginning to rise.
I was just asking the folks in Raleigh last week, and they said that, that their housing prices were actually doing okay.
Yeah, and eventually, that will spread, and it'll be elsewhere. But it's no surprise. Once again, it's the market working as it always does.
And the market needs to be left alone.
Right.
Now, the market didn't create all by itself this bubble.
No, it was.
Jim? We kept talking about a housing bubble, and saying there wasn't one.
It was a bank.
And there really wasn't a housing bubble. There was a mortgage bubble.
That's right. That's what it is.
See, that's what kept throwing us off. That's what, what was ironic was that Mr. Greenspan kept saying that there was a housing bubble, but you know what? He was creating the real bubble that we had. Isn't that ironic that he kept talking about a real estate bubble, but the truth is he was creating with his accommodative interest rate and the easy money, he was creating the mortgage bubble that produced the housing collapse.
Right, and what was the fuel? Again, it was rising, increased, mortgage lending beyond any reasonable mean.
You don't even have to know whether you have income or not. Here, borrow 120% of the price of the house. I mean, just such wacky things that flew in the face of in the last 100 years about lending to homeowners.
And you know what? Gravity always wins. Over time, gravity
wins. Mr. Gravity is alive and well. Mr. Newton's law of gravity is alive and well.
In the marketplace. It is.
That's exactly
right. And it will be.
Yeah.
You can't do this and that, or the Fed can, but you can't repeal gravity.
Or the laws of economics.
That's right.
In this case, they're intertwined. They're inextricably linked. And the reason why I think it's important for us to talk about this, Jim, is because we just got through doing this in the 90s with the dot bombs.
Right.
Why didn't we learn something there? I mean, do we think just because it's real estate it's different? Do we think that this is different from the SNL debacle? Do we think this is different from the junk bonds of the early 80s? This is different from Tulipomania, the South Sea Bubble, the Mississippi Scheme? None of this is different, folks. It's And their greed, and we need to learn that.
That's right, but it'll happen again.
I'm sure it will.
And people will say, "How did we get here? We need help. Help us!"
But as Charles McKay so famously wrote in the 1840s, "Extraordinary popular delusions and the madness of crowds." That's going to keep it. As you say, this will pop up again. But the worst thing that happens now, though, whenever we get the government jumping in to try to regulate everything, and that's not good either. So we got some problems we got to deal with here, folks. Come back, we got more things to talk about with our good friend Jim Ostroff. Stay with me.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. More stuff. More good stuff from our good friend Jim Ostroff, associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Jim, we were about to move over and talk about taxes, I think, a little bit. One of the things that's, that you guys report this time is that... The corporations will be allowed to carry their losses back in 08 farther and 09 farther than we used to be able to. Tell us about that.
Well, right now, I mean, there is Senate legislation, and it stands a pretty good chance of passing, that will allow companies, you know, to carry back losses from this year or incurred this year for 4 years. And that would basically just allow them to offset prior profits.
Right.
It really does stand a good chance of passage. And the bottom line is that it would give immediate refund checks, you know, to manufacturers, mm-hmm. to auto suppliers.
So here's here's how this works, folks. The if you made a $100,000 profit 2 years ago, within the last 2 years, in the current, under the previous law, if you made a $100,000, if you made a profit in two previous years and you made a loss, you can carry that back and get a refund.
Right now.
If you made a loss in the current year, you can carry that back and get a refund. Or, Jim, as I have done before, if you make a profit, you can carry that profit back and pick up some of those losses.
That's right.
Loss carry forward, I guess they call it.
Forward. Right.
But now what you're saying is whereas instead of going back 2 years, they can now go back 4 years.
4 years, right.
That's the new part of the law, right?
Right, and... will be enacted as law, and the bottom line is it you know, if you can do that, your company, and it's another little additional check to help out right now.
And the idea is to get corporations to the one good thing about that placement is it gets corporations to hopefully increase their capital spending
right now. That's right. Grease the wheels of industry right now when we need.
Well, see, that's of the Section 179 direct expensing increase.
That's right.
Which basically was doubled from 125 to 250, 125,000 to
250,000
a year.
That's right.
So, you know, that's, I see that, those, that come, see, I was critical of that when it came out because it's for small businesses. And I said most small businesses, you know, some will, larger ones will, especially manufacturers. Well, a lot of small businesses won't spend $125,000 a year. Let alone 250.
That's right.
But I could see where with this loss carry back, so to speak, instead of loss carry forward, I could see where that might free up some capital to do some extra purchases, and then that too.
That's right, and particularly for smaller businesses, where, as you said, many times it's not like this. Okay, well, we're going to spend another $1 million. Well, they're not, but this will help.
Well, this is good news. Now, there's one other thing, though, that you're reporting that probably is not going to go through, and this is the what has now become recognized as Mr. McCain's idea for gasoline abatement. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, McCain has
Senator
McCain, John McCain of Arizona, has proposed just eliminating the federal gas tax, 18.4 cents, during summer to help out during a time of... And you might say, in concept, well, that would sort of be nice, but two things. The Highway Trust Fund that funds a vast amount of our highway building, bridge building repair is going broke right now. It may run out of money next year. Mm-hmm. In addition, you know, it's not something that can be done overnight. And if you remove that tax, 18.4 cents, at a time when we're coming in... summer driving season, you know what? People are going to drive more. And the bottom line is that it's going to increase demand and then cause a bump up in prices a little later. Prices will
jump. But see, you're offering logical reasons why it's not going to pass.
No, but he wants to.
And those aren't
why
it's not going to pass.
No.
It's not going to pass. Republican, the Democrats are in charge of Congress. They're not going to give him anything to brag about this year.
Oh no, that's it exactly. But I mean, on a
it all comes back to politics, doesn't it, Jim?
Hard political sense. He could be getting up and saying, "I want a double motherhood and apple pie." Wouldn't give it to him. They wouldn't give it to him because they want motherhood and apple pie.
Yeah. I know a lot of mothers who wouldn't want their motherhood to be doubled. they got all the kids they want. They'd be with that one. 20 Tail, right back after these. Now, the apple pie, I'd vote for him for that.
Yeah.
20 Tail, we'll be right back with Jim Ostroff. I'm Jim Blessingame. Stay with me. We're back at 17 Till. That's a guitar riff from Steely Dan, one of my favorite bands. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back. We're visiting with our good friend, Ostroff. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And I want to tell you about their website and encourage you to go there and check it out. Use it to your advantage because they got a lot of good free stuff there. Kiplinger.com. But they do have subscriptions that they encourage you to, and I encourage you to check out as well. They've got a lot of deep research that you can get a lot more information on the topics that Jim and I talk about every week, and Joan Pride also when she's with us. A lot more that you can read more of the details, and you can do that by subscribing to their publications, either one of their publications, like the Kiplinger letter that we work off of every week, and then of course they've got three biweekly letters. The California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. And also, what's the other one? There's another one, Jim.
There are two more. We have Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Yeah, that one. That's the magazine.
Right.
That's the monthly.
And actually, we have a new biofuel.
That's it.
Right, biofuels. Everything about biofuels, good, bad,
that's the
and
new one.
Different.
Yeah.
One thing
you guys have been doing, since I've been doing my show for over 10 years, you guys have always kept us up to date on where biofuels are.
That's right.
Where the alternative fuels, I should say, are.
That's right.
We've also talked about hydrogen and wind and solar and a lot of other stuff.
Right,
Kiplinger is really one of the top reporting resources, folks, on the energy front. And I tip my hat to them. And by the way, folks, the magazine is available wherever books are sold, or I should say, in newsstands. But also, you can find them on. You can subscribe on the website, and you can also get that for 30-day free the 30-day free trial. By calling this number or at the website. Go ahead, Jim. Here's the phone number.
Yeah, it's 800-544-0155.
You know, Jim, the United States has been browbeating China for a number of years now because of their yuan. Their currency, the yuan, folks, they pegged it to the dollar. Whatever the dollar does, that's what the yuan does. Well, we import a lot of their stuff. And so because of that, and we want to sell our stuff to their markets, Jim, a lot of our stuff to their markets. And so we would like it if they would let their dollar float and maybe increase in value, and that way our stuff would have more value in their country.
As it
now does in Europe and other countries.
Right. And
so they're actually talking about letting that happen, aren't they?
Right. And China is letting or encouraging its currency to float, escalate, rise a little faster now against the dollar.
They're doing this. They're really doing this for. They're not doing it to make us happy. They're doing it for their own purposes.
They want to contain inflation and their own, inflation from commodity imports.
But here's this physics thing, Jim.
Right.
For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
That's right.
So when China, the big producing country that it is, and we buy a lot of stuff from them. When they let their currency go up to control their inflation, what does it do to our inflation?
Well, it may export our inflation to them, or encourages
inflation on our end too, because the things that we buy, if their currency goes up, That makes their stuff more expensive, and that exacerbates our inflation situation.
Unless we import less, but we're not going to do that. But the point is, there is always a reaction, and therefore it helps to inflate the U.S. economy.
Right.
Or our prices. So, there's always a trade-off over here.
Yeah.
But China has kept its currency, its yuan, artificially low for many years.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, folks. And so what we've tried to do here, I know the currency stuff, folks, kind of crosses your eyes, and it does me too. I'm not an expert, don't claim to be, but I do think that it's important for all of us business owners to have a basic fundamental understanding of how the currency issues affect you and me, especially in the global market, Jim. Every single person in business now on the planet operates in a global marketplace, and you're part of the global marketplace whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. And
right.
So we need to understand the basic fundamentals, the rudimentary dynamics of the currencies and how they work with each other, and just from the standpoint of business planning. So there's your third grade lesson there, folks, on currency, our currency exchanges with China. Jim, let's move over and talk about food. Food's been in the news lately, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has. There's a growing recognition here that pretty much worldwide food prices are rising substantially, and so are shortages, which is sort of a paradox. A lot of times people say, well, higher prices mean they'll produce more. No, both are happening at the same time. And of course, not only for humanitarian reasons, but also for our own interests. Mm-hmm. It is not a good thing to have hundreds of millions of people in other countries who are on the edge and dissatisfied and willing to do anything.
Well, I don't know what's going on. The UN reported recently, as you know, that they're anticipating some food shortages. And one of the reasons prices have gone up has been because of some of the increased interest in biofuels.
Well,
and Jim, I just don't think I don't have a good attitude about biofuels. I sure don't have a good attitude about corn ethanol. I don't think that's the future. I don't think we'll ever have ethanol as a viable, consistent alternative. Corn will never become the petroleum of economy, in my opinion, at least. Tintail, right back with Jim Ostroff. A lot more to come. We're going to talk about this Northwest Airlines Delta merger, which I don't like, by the way. Stay back. Stay by. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. And again, as we wrap up this week, happy Small Business Week, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are small business owners, we've been celebrating it all week long. I congratulate you on being business owners. Hang in there. Hang tough. You're going to be all right. Just keep working. Don't let the talking heads get you down. Keep talking to your customers. Stay close to your customers. And spend more time listening to your customers than you do listening to talking heads. Even me, you can even throw me into that and lump me into that if you want to. I practice what I preach. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with the Kipling Editors. And Jim, we were talking about food shortages. Apparently, some people have been hoarding food. Is that right? Walmart and Costco have put a limit on how much rice and flour people can buy. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct as far as we know.
Have you seen this? Has this turned ugly anywhere? You know anything about that?
Not so far, no. And hopefully it won't. But again, it's psychology. If people feel prices are going to go up and there may be shortages, food hoarding, like we've seen in the past. And it's just, if nothing else, it's a sign of the times about what is happening here in terms of prices and, demand.
Well, I know one thing. All it takes is one little scare to make people go nuts about stuff like that.
Well, that's right.
Forecast a little snow in a week and a half from now, and we run out of toilet paper and bread.
That
happens all the time.
I see it every year.
Humans still have that tendency to get excited. Hey, Jim, let's move down and talk about travel.
and talk about this merger between Northwest and Delta. Now, let me tell you something. I fly Delta a lot, and they're not the best airline I've ever flown. They're not as good as they used to be, but they're better than most of the other airlines that I fly. Northwest may be one of the worst. Hmm. Northwest has screwed me either with missing, canceling flights. No airline has ever lost my bags as much as Northwest has, and I've never. Only one other airline has ever canceled a flight on me, and I fly a lot, folks. Northwest, I can't even count the times they've canceled flights on me. Northwest is the worst as far as I'm concerned, and I'm very unhappy to see Delta, which is, again, is not exactly as good as it used to be. None of them are, I guess, but I'm not happy about seeing this merger happen. I got to be honest with you.
Well, you know, and the thing is, certainly there'll be a lot of government review over here looking at antitrust, but
it's going through, Jim. It's going to happen.
It is going through, and no surprise over here. Most likely, fares will rise.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, if on those routes where it turns out there really is no competition from any low-cost carriers. And there'll probably be a reduction of flights, you know, in certain areas. and this won't be the last. You know, there will be other large mergers here as airlines look to compete and find better, you know, cost advantages. It's just the way it is. But ultimately, you might. Bottom line, many feel is that consumers don't benefit.
Well, I've seen other mergers happen. They turned out okay, but this one, I feel like we've got, you know, a decent airline and a not decent airline merging, and I'm afraid the standards of the one is going to pull down the other standards, not go the other way. One other thing that's good news though about airlines is you guys report what the U.S. government is going to do about cell phone usage during flights. Tell us about that.
Yeah, cell phone use on flights will not be allowed over here.
I'm applauding that. I'm giving that a standing ovation, Jim.
Right. Yeah, good.
I do not want people. Can you hear me now? Beside me. I can't stand that.
You would have hundreds of people in a confined space talking on cell phones.
It'd be a nightmare. The one thing that would cause me not to fly anymore.
There is no quiet room like perhaps they have on Amtrak.
We already have loud people, you know, sitting over across the way that won't shut up. You know, we had some people yesterday when we were traveling back that just, you know, they just don't realize how loud. And you know what? I've actually turned to people and put my finger over my mouth and just said, "Inside voice, please." I've actually had to do that before.
That's right. And you know, that there is a situation with some people, and certainly if everybody could use cell phones, that's what would happen.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not one government interference, but there is a greater good here, you know.
Yeah.
And we see it everywhere, you know, that people will talk on phones all the time, talk very loud.
Yeah.
And
hey, Jim, quick, before we go, and we only got a couple of seconds, literally a couple of seconds. Hillary Clinton, she pulled it out in Pennsylvania. I don't blame her for not getting out. I hope she stays in all the way to the convention. What do you think? Quickly.
I think she will.
Yep. Goodman, there you go. I like that answer. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Happy Small Business Week.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.